factor in how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free too with their 3-week quick start kit for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily, it helps reduce or eliminate pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime, choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/wellness.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Police are trying to determine if the same suspects are responsible for an armed robbery and carjacking near Patterson Park. A man and a woman were robbed by three juveniles in the 500 block of South Linwood Avenue shortly before 9:30 Tuesday night. The victims say one of the suspects displayed a gun. A few minutes later, a man was carjacked at gunpoint by three juveniles in the 2900 block of Eastern Avenue. Police say the investigation is ongoing. And Governor Wes Moore has announced a Port of Baltimore recovery milestone following last year's collapse of the Key Bridge. Moore says the port handled nearly 46 million tons of cargo in 2024, and more than 25 million tons were handled in the last 6 months of the year. That was the second best year after 2023, when the port handled a record 52.3 million tons. Stein on sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Terps fans reeling this morning from a gut punch delivered by Michigan State. Pick it up with 10 seconds to play, tied at 55 last night, Maryland with a chance to win.
Rebound Gillespie, shot clock turned off. No timeouts left for Maryland. They got to go. Gillespie for three. Goal or no. Holloman looks the clock. Half court for the win.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness! Holloman from half court to win it on the road.
Jason Horowitz with the call on BTN. Holloman's 60-foot buzzer beater gives Michigan State an unforgettable 58-55 win over the Terps. The highly anticipated spring debut of Tomoyuki Sugano went off pretty much as planned yesterday in Bradenton, Florida.
He bounces this double play ball to second. That is a 4-6-3 DP. And there's Andrew McCutchen, his first at bat of the spring. He bounces this ball to the shortstop without Corbin Burns, who signed that big contract to go to Arizona. Bouncing ball to the right side. Far to his left is Jackson Holliday. Fields the ball on the outfield grass.
Calls on the Pirates radio network. Two scoreless for the ground ball pitcher in a 7-3 loss to Pittsburgh, no strikeouts. Coming up in 30 minutes, another statement from Justin Tucker. And that is Stein on Sports.
Johns Hopkins is seeking individuals age 60 and older who are experiencing mild memory issues to participate in a research study funded by the National Institute on Aging. The research aims to explore the connection between stress and memory. Participants will need to visit Johns Hopkins Bayview twice now with a follow-up visit in 2 years. You may receive up to $300 compensation for your time. If you're interested, please call 410-550-6271. That's 410-550-6271. 1.
At 9:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
We can use a little bit of rain, and that's what we've got today. Showers off and on, 66 the high. Tomorrow, sunny and cooler, 56 tomorrow. Saturday, partly cloudy and near 60. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 49 degrees in Westminster, 54 in Easton, and 50 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. Yes, one more day till Friday. You're doing great, I promise you that. And of course, if you are tuning into WCBM, I appreciate you. I know you have other options, but you're already doing great because you're here, right? If you haven't already, please go to the App Store. Make life a little easier for you. Go to the App Store, download the WCBM app. It is free in the App Store, and that way you can take the show on the go. And then also, if you want to text in live, you can text right into that app. We're going to jump right into things in just a second. I did want to make sure I mentioned that Scott Pappas is going to be joining us. Pappas, I think I should say. He'll be joining us at 10 a.m. To tell us about himself and the advocates for Save Fort Howard. If you haven't seen it, it's House Bill 538 from 2024, the Housing and Affordability Act. And there are a lot of people in North Point right now that are very upset because they are demolishing Fort Howard for commercial buildings, apparently. And believe it or not, there are some ties here to my former opponent, former county executive and now Congressman Johnny Osheski. So Scott's going to join us at 10 a.m. and kind of walk us through all of this. Obviously, we want to keep as many memorials as possible. And I don't know about you guys, but when I'm looking across Baltimore County, I see we have lots of commercial real estate. And we have, I will say, we have lots of commercial real estate that is sitting empty right now. That is because, let's be honest, retail isn't doing so fantastic. And I'm not saying that's just in the state of Maryland, but across the entire country. A lot of people are ordering online and doing other things. But, you know, we've got retail shops completely open now that you could lease or I'm sure you can own. Why we are doing more commercial building, I don't know. But guess what? We're going to talk to Scott about that around 10 o'clock. Jumping right into what happened in Annapolis yesterday. We've been following very closely, you and I, Vincent Schiraldi, our DJS secretary. And of course, you know, I think many of us could agree that he's had a pretty pathetic showing in his position since he arrived. He was appointed by Governor Wes Moore. Governor Wes Moore has been asked multiple times whether or not he agrees with the work that Schiraldi has been doing. Governor Wes Moore is the best tap dancer east of the Mississippi because he always taps around that question and he does a fantastic job. He never really responds. And it is obvious that Vincent Schiraldi, number one, either has no idea what he's doing or number two, is intentionally doing a poor job. Either way, he shouldn't be the DJS secretary. We're looking at a juvenile crime crisis. And just because I don't talk about, you know, the daily carjackings or those being robbed at gunpoint by juveniles, it's still happening. It's still happening. I was just tired of sounding like a broken record every show. You know what I mean? And so it is still happening. And you can tune into anything, you know, whether it's Channel 11, Fox 45, you name it. They are talking about the juveniles constantly committing violent crime across the state of Maryland. It used to be just in the Baltimore region, but now they've spread it out. You know, these criminals, they've gotten a lot smarter. They really have. I've got some sound here from Fox 45, because, of course, Mackenzie Frost was in Annapolis yesterday as Vincent Schiraldi was at the State House to speak to delegates. Now, he did, before this, he did go in front of the Senate. And at that point in time, you know, he was telling the Senate basically that, you know, they're trying to get things under control. They do believe that they have the resources. And I don't know if you recall this, but it was very wishy-washy. And at that time, the senators there at the State House, they asked him to bring some data with him the next time he made his way to Annapolis. Well, Of course, he did not do that. He still has not done this. And you know what it reminds me of? How many times have we asked Mayor Brandon Scott for data when it comes to safe streets? We've asked for data time and time and time again, and he never provides any data. When he used to have the former head of Safe Streets over there, I guess you could say Monzi, right? The mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement, Shantae Jackson, remember when she was there? She kept telling us that it was very complicated. And so that, you know, she couldn't really show any data because it was just so complicated. Meanwhile, they had the geniuses over at Hopkins working on it, and even they couldn't compile any data. Did you find that to be strange? I know I did. Well, anyways, it's the same thing with DJS. For some reason, you just can't seem to get any data. Now, this is the same people that would tell us to follow the data, follow the science, right? All through the pandemic. Meanwhile, when we followed the data and the science, we knew that social distancing didn't work. We knew that the cloth masks didn't work. We knew that the kids weren't really affected and they could have gone back to school almost immediately. We knew all of these things. But we didn't follow the data. We didn't follow the science. We kind of just looked at it and still did whatever, you know, the elected officials wanted us to do. Well, here in Annapolis, Vincent Schiraldi went in front of the delegates. And I do have a bone to pick, by the way, with the delegates. But I want you to hear this audio, and then we'll talk about it on the way back.
All eyes are on Annapolis today as juvenile crime takes center stage. The Department of Juvenile Services Secretary Vincent Schiraldi in the hot seat facing questions over whether his agency can effectively track young offenders in its custody.
It comes more than a month after a tense hearing revealed significant gaps in accountability and tracking in DJS. Good evening. Thank you for staying with us. I'm Kai Jackson.
And I'm Mary Bubala. Fox 45's Mackenzie Frost sat in on that hearing today. She joins us live again from the State House with some details. Mackenzie.
Yeah, Mary and Kai, lawmakers questioned DJS Secretary Vincent Schiraldi about why the agency isn't tracking all of the performance metrics. The agency says it's a result of an old data management system. However, DJS does not provide a timeline for an update. We also learned that the secretary himself didn't know certain cases were being closed, and we questioned him how that was possible.
Good afternoon. This is the House Judiciary Committee.
Another briefing about a report showing the Department of Juvenile Services does not have the proper tracking in place to know how juveniles are doing in various programs.
All right.
DJS Secretary Vincent Schiraldi quick to lay responsibility at the feet of his predecessor for most of the problems.
Much, but not all, of the data the report reviewed predates my tenure here.
The report shows the juveniles whose cases are resolved at intake and referred to contracted community-based services account for about 30% of the total, meaning there's no record of kids being sent to services for 70% of the cases. Schiraldi pushing back on the notion that nothing is being done for those juveniles.
It is wrong that we cannot quantify that the way we should be able to. That is, I absolutely agree with the OPEGA report on that. But that does not mean that those kids aren't getting services.
Chair of the committee, Delegate Luke Clippinger, pressed Schiraldi on tracking young people that have their cases resolved at intake.
A whole bunch of our kids are one and done, somewhere around 70 to 75%. We could spend a lot of time following up on them, and then we'd have less time to follow up on a bunch of other kids. So at some point we say, we're going to refer this kid, it's their first offense, and we're not gonna spend a lot of resources on this kid.
You said that 75% of the time, a person who is resolved at intake doesn't come back again. Right. After how long?
Right. Never. To our knowledge, never.
Yeah, I'd like a little bit more information about that. I'd like a little bit more information about the follow-up that happens when in the delegate's example, they're resolved at intake because they are being diverted to some program. Who's following up with the program on the backside?
It's been 1 month since senators first questioned the secretary about this same report. In that time, Secretary Schiraldi says non-contracted programs have been identified and added to a database. And one key change has been made. Cases are no longer closed when families don't show up to court.
This is one area where the OPEGA report rang a bell for us, and I was like, is this true? I didn't know this one.
After the hearing,
how is it possible that you didn't know that that was happening in your own agency?
What's happening here is that these are the young people who are the least risky kids being brought into our system. Generally, first offense misdemeanor cases that are very sort of low level and they're low risk kids. So I paid most of my attention during the first 2 years on tackling the most serious and risky kids at risk of gun violence, and we've moved the dial on that in a way that I think is very important, and that's the public safety area I chose to focus on. And as time goes on, I pick new areas to focus on, and this will now be an important thing to pay attention to.
Jiminy crickets. I can't believe this guy. All right. I know you guys want to weigh in on what you've heard. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. You can also text me the text line. This is a travesty. It is incredible. For how long have we been told that it is the same 10-15% that has been committing all of the crimes that you see across the Baltimore region? We've been told that by, one, DJS Secretary Vincent Schiraldi, right? He changed the story yesterday. Before, we also been told that by who? Mayor Brandon Scott. And then do you remember when Jack Young was the interim mayor? Remember that when Catherine Pugh had to go to prison? Well, yeah, he told us that it was the same 10% as well. Then we heard this from, if you remember, former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby. And there were times where we heard this from even today's state's attorney, Ivan Bates, that it wasn't this large number that was coming in and out, or no, I was just saying just coming in and never being seen again. They kept telling us it was repeat offenders, which the data that we have thus far, ladies and gentlemen, would show for that to be true. Why? Because how many times have we talked about an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, you name it, having a history, a criminal background, a rap sheet longer than I am old? And I'm 43. I'm pretty old. Okay? How many times have we heard about this? We've had 15-year-olds that have been caught by the police, and we would see this at least 11, 12 times. So now the story's completely changed, yet he provides no data to back this up. The DJS secretary is now saying, that 75% of those that are committing crimes within the juvenile justice system, they're one-timers. He sees them and never sees them again. Yet, as Mackenzie Frost so rightfully asked over there at Fox 45, she said, how did you not know, how could you possibly have not known that when these families don't show up to court, their cases are completely thrown out? So then I've got more questions, right? He didn't know that was happening, but he believes that 75% of those that come in are just one-time offenders. How do you know that? How do you know that, Mr. Secretary? I don't think you do know it. At this point, he's pulling things out of his you-know-what. This is all just make-believe world. And so now, I know, look, I can look at Vincent Schiraldi, and I can say he's probably no dummy, right? Which makes me to believe that he's doing this intentionally. And to all of those that vote for people like Governor Westmore and other Democrats that are just fine with the job that Vincent Schiraldi is doing, I have to ask you this question. Why are you okay with a guy that's sitting at the head of the DJS that is allowing cases to be thrown out so these violent offenders are back on the streets to terrorize even your children that could be minding their own business at school? Because that's what's happening. These kids' cases are getting thrown out. Talk about the schools never knowing what the rap sheets are. How would they know if they're throwing the cases out? This is insanity. And then he says, well, since I've been here, you know, I was here in December. I was before the Senate. And so at that time, one, it was bestowed upon me. Wow. It was bestowed upon me that these cases were being thrown out. Thank you, Mackenzie Frost, for your investigative journalism. Had you not told me, I wouldn't have known. That's what's going on. Mackenzie Frost is running DJS, as far as I know. He seems to find things out after she reports on it. Have you noticed that? This is ridiculous. And I said this before. Governor Westmore ignoring Vincent Schiraldi and what we're seeing at DJS, this speaks to him. This speaks to where he wants these things to go in this state. I know he's talked often, even in his book, he said, oh, I was one of those troubled teenagers. Well, sir, you know how you got your life on track. You got a good education and you got out of the streets. What you are allowing is for these juveniles to not receive a good education and to allow them to keep being out on the streets. Many of these kids are targeted by gangs. Because the gangs, the higher-ups, they know exactly what's going on here. They know these cases are getting thrown out. These gang members are no dummies. This is wild. So I am one to believe that this is intentional. I do want to hear from you, believe it or not. 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. What do you think? Do you think this is intentional? Or do you think Vince Schiraldi is this stupid? Do you think Governor Westmore is intentionally ignoring all of this? Or do you think he's stupid? Because at this point, those are the only two things that could be possibly going on here. Either it's intentional or you're an idiot. It's either or. We'll discuss more when we get back.
This is Pastor David Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church for today's Moment of Truth. I sometimes get letters or phone calls from Jewish listeners who applaud me for my stand on Israel. My response to that is simple and to the point. Any Christian, any true Christian who doesn't love the Lord's people Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem isn't worth their salt. There is a movement within Christianity, a false doctrine known as replacement theology, that basically says that because of the Jews' rejection of Jesus as Messiah, the church has now inherited all the promises of God previously given to Israel. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is not a stance Christians should take, and the Bible backs that up. The Apostle Paul, himself a Jew, said in Romans 11, "Has God cast away his people? Has he rejected and deserted the Jews?" His answer was emphatic, "God forbid." My fellow Christian, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Study God's word as it was written, not as you have misinterpreted it. This is Pastor David Lewis, and this has been today's Moment of Truth.
The Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. March 1st and 2nd and 7th through 9th at the Timonium Fairgrounds, Cow Palace, and Exhibition Hall. See Leslie Davis and Lindsay Lamb from HGTV's Unsellable Houses March 7th and 8th. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Sean Hannity Show.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, so we were just talking about Vince Schiraldi, the all-star secretary at DJS. Yesterday, he went before the House of Delegates, because remember, previously in December, he was before the Senate. And they were asking him a couple questions. Of course, he flip-flopped on a lot of things that he told the Senate just in December, which made absolutely no sense. But it was brought to his attention in December that if juveniles decided not to show up to court for their violent activity on the streets, that the courts would just throw the case out altogether. Because that makes sense, right? That makes lots of sense. Now, when you're thinking about this kid that was just arrested in Columbia, who was out on an ankle monitoring system, and he was already accused of attempted murder on Valentine's Day. And then previous to that, in December, he was attempted of another violent crime, which got him on the ankle monitor in the first place. Well, apparently the ankle monitoring system is just... It's, you know, the ankle monitor is jewelry at this point. It doesn't actually monitor their whereabouts. Like, nobody actually looks at it. It's not a thing. There's no notification, apparently, when these kids step outside, you know, even off business hours. There's nothing like that. They're supposed to go to school, come home. Apparently, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And so if you're thinking about that kid in Columbia, and then you think about the fact that we now know that they were throwing cases out. Like, literally throwing cases out. This is what's so crazy. Remember there was that town hall with State's Attorney Ivan Bates, one of his prosecutors, and Vince Schiraldi was there, and he was in Baltimore County. And it was when one of Ivan Bates' prosecutors, she got really upset, and Vincent Schiraldi was getting mad at her, and they ended up throwing this notebook back and forth at each other. Do you guys remember that? Well, I remember that vaguely, but I remember what happened, and you could see the prosecutor, she was just, you could tell in her face, she was overwhelmed with frustration. And I was watching it, because, you know, of course you can hear the audio, but I was watching it because it was streamed live, and I was like, you know what? There's something else going on here. There is something else going on here. And then so then you had State's Attorney Ivan Bates kept saying, oh, well, the culture at DJS is ridiculous. We can't work with these people. Then we found out that a lot of those people at DJS were working remote. And then I was like, all right, well, maybe that's it. Is it the fact that nobody's coming to work? Is that what it is? They got to report to work? So that's what we were thinking for a little bit there. But now you hear some of these things here. And, you know, I wish we could hear more from the police officers that have to deal with these juveniles. But, of course, I understand they can't really speak. But now you're looking at this and it's like, well, wait a minute. He had no idea that these cases were being thrown out after he had that exchange with one of Ivan Bates' prosecutors at that town hall. That town hall was like in August or September. Remember, it was before the session started. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. There's no way that he had no idea that they were just throwing these cases out, because it would have been the cases she was working on. See, that's it. Like, none of this adds up. None of this adds up. You know, it's like, you know, I might have been born at night, but not last night kind of deal. Like, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm not stupid either. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, wait a minute. There's no way that you did not know this. You allowed it. I got some text messages coming in, and I, you know, good morning to all of you. And I appreciate you listening to the show, weighing in. Let's see. I've got Bob says, good morning, Kim. I'm Bob from Pasadena. After hearing what Mrs. Schiraldi had to say, the word salad, I'm sure he's taking speaking lessons from Kamala Harris. Yeah, Bob. And you know what? It's so bizarre to me. And this is why I said I'm going to get on the delegates here a little bit. Not one delegate in that room asked about the ankle monitoring system. Not a one. So I have to ask, because there were delegates in the room. There were Republicans as well. Why didn't anybody ask about the ankle monitoring system? We just found out the kid in Colombia was on the box when he killed a 16-year-old. We just dealt with that last week. And you're telling me nobody thought to ask about the monitoring system? What the hell are we doing in Annapolis? I really want to know. These kids are getting killed left and right. They're getting initiated to gangs left and right. Does nobody care? No one cares. Black Lives Matter? Hello? This is insanity. Governor Wes Moore has some explaining to do. During a State of the State address, don't forget, he was talking about having more wraparound services for black teens. How about this? How about you just do what is asked, right? How about you just do basic government functions? Can we start there? That was another thing that I didn't see yesterday. Where are the wraparound services? How are these kids being rehabilitated? Didn't hear anything about that. Nobody asked! All right, I'll calm down. I know what my cardiologist is calling. We'll discuss when we get back.
With SRN News, I'm Mitch Thomason. The Supreme Court has temporarily blocked a lower court order that would have forced the Trump administration to release billions of dollars in foreign aid. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is in Washington for a meeting with President Trump. Ukraine ranks high on the agenda. Hamas has released the bodies of four more hostages it was holding in Gaza. In return, Israel freed hundreds of convicted Palestinian terrorists. New Pentagon policy requires so-called transgender service members to obtain a waiver, meeting specific requirements in order to continue serving in the military. Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog have been found dead during a welfare check at their home in New Mexico. Police say they do not suspect foul play. According to authorities, Gene Hackman was 95 years old. Wall Street stocks opening higher this morning. More details, srnnews.com.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Justin Tucker softening his comments yesterday regarding the allegations lodged against him. The Ravens kicker telling Clay Travis's Outkick that he, quote, has never intended to disrespect anyone, cross any boundary, or make anyone feel uncomfortable. And to anyone who has felt otherwise, I am sorry, unquote. Back when the story broke on January 30th, Tucker accused the Baltimore Banner of taking his interactions so out of proportion that they were no longer recognizable and presenting vague insinuations as fact. He called it desperate tabloid fodder. And in College Park last night, in case you haven't heard, Maryland stunned at the buzzer.
Rebound Gillespie, shot clock turned off. No timeouts left for Maryland. They gotta go. Gillespie for three.
Call on BTN, Trey Holloman with the 60-foot buzzer beater, Michigan State 58, Maryland 55. After the game, head coach Kevin Willard had a feeling.
That's just a tough way to lose a game, but give them credit. They got back, they came back, and Holloman hadn't made a shot all night, so once he released it, I knew that thing was going in.
Coming up in 30 minutes, the Ravens report card is in. And that is Stein on Sports.
The Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. March 1st and 2nd and 7th through 9th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace and Exhibition Hall. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with trusted local experts. Step into spring as you stroll through the blossoming feature gardens. Plus, see Leslie Davis and Lindsay Lamb from HGTV's Unsellable Houses March 7th and 8th. Shop, compare, and save on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more at the Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
One cold front bringing rain today. There's another cold front over the weekend with some much colder weather. We won't see that big drop in temperature until Sunday. Today, lots of clouds, some showers off and on. It's a mild day, though, 66. Overnight, we're dry, and tomorrow, sunny and cooler, 56. Saturday, looks good to get outside, partly cloudy and 60 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's time to ditch big wireless. Pure Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on America's most dependable 5G network. Switch today. Just dial #250 and say keyword switch now to save 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
BGE Smart Energy Savers program can help your business take control of operating costs by covering up to 75% of the cost of qualifying energy-saving upgrades. Visit bgesmartenergy.com/radio.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and coworkers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning to all of you. Yes, it is Thursday. One more day to the weekend. We were talking about Vincent Schiraldi, our DJS secretary here in the state of Maryland, Department of Juvenile Services. And he was before the House of Delegates yesterday. And I was very, let's be honest. I was very upset about the fact that he came in and he said that 75% of those that go through the juvenile justice system are just one-time offenders and they go in and they never are seen again. That's what he said, 75%. This goes against, and it flies in the face of everything that anybody has ever told us up until this point. We were told by how many people that it's about 10 to 15% repeat violent offenders, which I believe the data suggests, the data that we have publicly suggests that that is the case. when you have an 11-year-old that's been in and out of DJS 13 times, yes, I do believe that. I don't believe that 75, think about that. He's saying only 25%, right? Only 25%. He says, yeah, you know, everything else is that they just come in and they're never to be seen again. You're telling me that? So you're telling me these kids that are obviously very experienced with carjacking people at gunpoint, you're telling me they only do it once and they're never seen again. And then you throw their case out, because we found that out yesterday. They throw their case out once they get in front of the judge and the prosecutors over at State's Attorney Ivan-based office, who have been upset, rightfully so, for quite some time. They're just like, okay, well, this is what's happening. And that's another thing. That's another question. Why did Ivan Bates say anything about this? I have a question. Look, and I like Ivan Bates. Again, congratulations to him. He's getting married. I think that's great. I love when people are in love. But guess what? I got questions. You're telling me all of this time, you've had your prosecutors going to the courthouse, working on these cases, probably sometimes overnight. How many hours did they put into some of these cases? And they would get into court and they would just throw it out because the families didn't show up, the kid didn't show up? And you said nothing? I also have questions for our delegates, both Democrat and Republican. Not one of you thought to ask about the ankle monitoring system as the kid just last week in Columbia killed another kid while he was on the box. And we were told that he was not being monitored, even though it was there on his ankle. Nobody thought, let's ask about that. You know what? I guess I'm mad at everybody this morning. I'm mad at everybody. This just so you know, we the taxpayers, we're watching this, we're paying your salaries, we see what's going on, and we're not happy. We're the ones being robbed at gunpoint. We're the ones that are being carjacked. When you hear about these sweet little old ladies getting out of their car, trying to get their groceries out of the car, you hear them getting pushed to the ground and their car being stolen by some 15-year-old. Do you not have any sympathy for that little old lady? You got nothing? If you want to weigh in on this, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Rose in Anne Arundel County. Rose, are you hearing about all of this for the first time as well?
The news today, yes, about the ankle monitors. But my feeling is that the children, they aren't monitored by their parents.
Yeah.
Nobody follows up on the ankle monitors. And my general feeling is that they do what they're doing because they know nothing is going to happen to them, that there'll be no consequences.
Yeah. Look, Rose, if I was 15 years old and I didn't want to go to school and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to steal people's cell phones and do whatever I want. Yeah, in the state of Maryland, you could absolutely do that. You're right. There's no consequences. Why would a kid even care at this point?
Well, I've had some interactions. I had a business and a shopping center near my home here, and there was two kids, and they'd be on their way home from school, and they'd throw large items on top of the building. And, I mean, like street signs, you know, large things, bricks. And I called them one day, and I said, listen, you know, this is a physician's office. You know, there's people in there. I'm not going to call the police, but, you know, you're scaring people. Please stop throwing things on the building. And they were middle schoolers. They were young, 11, 12 years old. Well, anyway, they escalated from that to once it got dark, they would come by and beat on the glass windows of the businesses. They'd throw things. They'd rattle the doors. They'd say, if you give us money, we'll stop rattling the doors. And then I found out the gas station next door was actually giving them chips and soda and stuff to not scare away their customers. And one day they came by and it was dark, and my husband and my sons were actually there. They'd stopped by, and they hit the window with something so large, I thought it was probably a golf club. I found out later it was a hockey stick, but we caught them. And they were middle schoolers. I think they were 11 or 12. And it was one Hispanic boy and one black boy. And we stopped them, got them at the gas station, and called the police. And they knew they were just going to get away with it, so they ran off. Well, anyway, I called the police a succession of times. I'm going to say 6-8 times. Finally, the police said, if we catch these two kids, would you be willing to leave your job and identify them? I said, I'll leave my house, my job. I said, these kids are on a bad path.
Yeah.
So they did catch them. Somebody was holding them and detaining them. They picked me up from work, and I went ahead, and yes, it was the same two boys. They were just terrorizing the whole shopping center. I had several businesses say something to me about them coming in, stealing things, being you know, just being horrible. And, you know, of course, the worst thing was that gas station rewarding the bad behavior.
Right.
So anyway, the police picked me up. I said, yes, that's the same two boys. He said, yeah, he said, I think there's some family problems there. He said, I don't think the parents care because the one brother was arrested last night. And I said, breaking into cars, I said, these kids are little. I said, they're like 11, 12 years old. He said, no, the brother was 8.
Oh, my God.
The night before, he was 8, and he was arrested. He was out with a 14-year-old breaking in cars the night before.
My word. Well, Rose, first of all, thank you for your public service on this. It sounds like a nightmare. But, you know, when you go to testify and say it was those two boys, were their families there?
No. What he did was he said, if you say, you know, like I said, I called it half a dozen times or more. He said, if you say that's them, he said, I'm going to tell them, if you call me one more time that they're harassing your business, I'm going to lock them up. So we did not end up in court. But I did find out some things on my own about these boys later. The parents were separated, and they were the Hispanic boy. The parents were separated, and both households were getting income like a block away from each other. That, to me, just sounded like a scam anyway. They were separated and both getting benefits.
Right.
And it's just a mess. The kids know that nothing is going to happen to them, and you're setting kids up to be entering gangs. And my husband and I said, when these kids, these 11, 10, 11, even 8-year-olds, reach 18 years old, they're going to wonder why the jails start filling up, because they're not going to have that covering anymore.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that protection anymore that, oh, I'm under 18 and I can do whatever I want. And they're raising a whole decade or more of a society here of children, and they are really, really think they're protecting them. They're doing a disservice.
Yeah.
A real disservice to these children.
Yeah. Well, Rose, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. We appreciate that. And I guess I'll ask you this before you go. I mean, have you seen these kids again since all of that went down?
I retired.
Okay.
So I retired, but I did notice that after the police got them and said, if that woman in that business calls me one more time, I'm going to arrest a whole bunch of you. Anyway, after that, I noticed they started walking out on the highway instead of cutting through the business there. And I noticed they stayed away. So what happened was it did de-escalate it by them threatening them. But as these people, you know, especially our governor and the rest of them, do nothing for these children, you know, I mean, even a toddler, you know, if you say it's hot or stay away, there has to be a consequence.
Yeah.
These kids know there's no consequences. They can do whatever they want up to 18 years old, and nothing is going to happen to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really a sad situation. But
yeah.
I love your show, Kim, and I hope, you know, that people are listening, because I do know you're making a difference.
Well, thank you, Rose. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I mean, you hear that right there. It's just like, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. How many rec centers do we have now? How many rec centers? Right? You think these juveniles want to go to rec centers? No. They want to terrorize people. They want to go into businesses. They want to steal things. They want to do everything but go play basketball, okay? Just so you know. So if you have all these rec centers and you want to spend all this money in these rec centers, I hope you're listening to people like Rose, all right? I hope you're listening, because guess what? To all the delegates, the state senators, to the governor, to all those that do all these wraparound services, why don't you make it mandatory for these kids to have to go into these rec centers that we already paid millions of dollars for? Make it mandatory. These kids are out of control. Their parents don't care. I already have a kid. I don't want to be someone else's mother, okay? And you got the police out here acting like they're baby daddies. I'm over it. We're taxpayers. We didn't sign up for any of this. And again, to the delegates that sat there yesterday as Vincent Schiraldi pulled information out of his behind, why didn't anybody ask about the monitoring system? Republicans, Democrats, very disappointed in all of you. All of you. I understand you have a lot of work to do. I understand the 90 days goes by pretty quickly. I get that. But what were you thinking? And then on top of this, to the Democrats, do none of you escalate this to the governor? Because I noticed when the governor comes around and, you know, he's always smiling and teasing and bobbing his head and, you know, like a good little dolphin. I do. I love the dolphin tricks. But at the same time, he goes to all these events. You guys see him all the time. Nobody pulls him aside and says, hey, governor, you know, I got a lot of constituents coming to me and they're talking about the juvenile crime. Is there something that we can do? Nobody pulls him aside and says this. It doesn't have to be on camera. It doesn't have to be in front of the microphone there in Mackenzie Frost's hand. Do you ever just pull him aside? Or do you just keep patting him on the head like a good little dolphin every time he comes to your events or your fundraisers? Because I really want to know what the hell is happening at this point. Because I know you're getting the phone calls. I know you're getting the emails. Nobody wants to ask him about this? We're paying your salaries. And you are failing us. Time and time again. I, of course, am paying very close attention to what's going on in Annapolis. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm paying more attention now than I've ever had. And that's why I'm looking at every single bill. I'm jotting all this stuff down. I got all this going on. Because guess what? We need to figure out exactly who we need to primary. Because I'm over it. From Republican to Democrat, you can be primary. I don't care. Sure, the numbers in the district might not change, but the primaries, it could change everything. You guys are getting up there. You got your little pet projects. You got your lobbyists. You got all your little friends. Everybody wants to have their night out at Capitol Grill and eat your steaks. And oh, it's so great. I'm so amazing. I'm a delegate. I'm a senator. No, guess what? We, the taxpayers, we don't look at you as celebrities. You might look at yourselves as celebrities, but you aren't to us. You're there to do a job. I've got Stephen in White Marsh. Stephen, you want to weigh in?
Yes, Kim. I did want to share an experience with you. So I do agree what you're saying about holding everyone accountable in office. However, you did touch on this. Where are the parents? Because I had a similar issue with my son. However, I was proactive. You know, I went down to juvenile services with him. So I'll sum it up quickly. So what happened was, and it's still going on, as we know, they told me that they were not going to hold him accountable. When I went in the courtroom, they asked me to be silent, which I didn't. So I told them, I said, you have to hold this child accountable. He was out of control at the time. He did miss a court case, and they did come get him. And I held him accountable. I made him stay incarcerated when he had to. And he's okay now. But that was back in 2012. But I will tell you, Kim, I went through all the hoops. It was terrible the way they did not want to do anything. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And lastly, a lot of the parents down there were telling their children, like, look, everything's okay. We got this. You don't have to worry about it. Nothing's going to happen to you. And I'm thinking, I told my son, I said, I'm not doing that. You're going to be held accountable. So I just wanted to tell you, and I don't know if anybody else is listening that has children that have issues, but you need to protest and you need to speak up or this is not going to stop. And that's the problem. We don't have any parents stepping up. And I'm only one person, so unfortunately I did my job. But I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for sharing that. And hopefully other parents are listening. I hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And see, there's different approaches here. Now, I know what he means by these parents saying that, oh, telling their kid it's going to be okay. Because I told you guys about this when I was a vendor for the Baltimore City Public Schools with my nonprofit. I had to do home visit. And one of my priorities was this young lady. I'll use lady, you know, that term loosely. But she was going to Dundalk High School. And she had a younger brother who was about maybe in fifth grade. Well, she wasn't showing up to school, and then she was also in and out of juvenile detention centers. She was in and out of the system, and it had been for quite some time. Well, it got to the point where she actually ended up beating this old man with a baseball bat, and he almost died. Like, he literally faced recognition, like nothing. He almost died. Well, anyways, when it was time for her to go to court or for trial for that case, for beating that guy with the baseball bat, Her mom insisted on going. Now, meanwhile, this is the first time that I ever interacted with her mother, yet I had been picking up her kids for school for quite some time at that time, right? She never ever, you know, said anything, never came outside to say hello, nothing. I would pick her kids up, take them to McDonald's to get breakfast, and then I would take them to school. Now, I think I told you this. Her little brother, elementary kid, he was excited. He was happy. Whenever I would come down that street, he was already on the porch with his backpack on, cheesing ear to ear. This kid was 12 years old, and all he wanted was a normal life, and all he wanted was to do good in school, to play football, and to, you know, have a great home life. Unfortunately, he didn't really have that. The sister, mind you, I was there for the sister. There are times where I had to leave that, you know, I had to leave the house and leave the sister because she wasn't ready. And so I would have to leave because, of course, I don't want, you know, the little brother to be late. So then I would go and take him to school, and then I would come back for his older sister. Anyways, it was a mess. Well, we get to court. The mother's there, and they go into the courtroom, and the judge's there, and she wanted to ask me how this young lady was doing, you know, getting to school every day. I said, of course, there's been some improvement. You know, there were people there with the administration, the school administration. They're like, look, we're trying to get her on the right track. She's doing a little bit better, da-da-da-da-da. Well, anyways, the mother had a chance to speak. And she said, look, I don't know why y'all got my daughter going in and out of this courthouse. He didn't die, did he? Like, this was the mother. This was the mother. This guy, his whole face was bashed in. He had had multiple surgeries. And it's only because these kids were dancing on top of his car as they were coming out of Dundalk High School. He told him to get down. He kept saying, get off my car, get off my car. I'm going to call the cops. She gets off and starts beating him with a baseball bat. This is what we have, okay? These are teenagers. So all these people that, you know, wraparound services, rec centers, you can shove it up your behind. Because that's not what needs to happen here. These kids need to get locked up. We'll discuss when we get back.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Under Biden, we found out USAID actually paid for Ukrainian models to attend Fashion Week in Paris. You know, under the Biden administration, USAID paid Ukrainian, Biden family syndicate thoughts, models and designers to go to Paris Fashion Week, you know, and other frivolous, absurd luxuries. Joni Ernst made this revelation earlier today. Ernst revealed USAID did not report the expenditures in public databases, and they tried to block her staff from seeing them, claiming they were classified. And this goes to the corruption aspect of this and the cover-up aspect of this, which I have been saying we are going to find out. It's now inevitable.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
The Maryland Home and Garden and Craft Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. March 1st and 2nd and 7th through 9th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace and Exhibition Hall. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with trusted local experts. Step into spring as you stroll through the blossoming feature gardens. Plus, see Leslie Davis and Lindsay Lamb from HGTV's Unsellable Houses March 7th and 8th. Shop, compare, and save on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more at the Maryland Home and Garden and Craft Show. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
USAID is one of the organizations that funded the BLM riots that killed 30 people and caused $2 billion in damage. They used George Floyd's death, not murder, to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. And oh, Thor's hammer is coming down. God's hammer is coming down. Justice is coming for the people who did this to us.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
bring up this conversation with regards to Vincent Schiraldi. Yes, he was in Annapolis yesterday. Yes, he did not provide any data. We did learn that cases are being thrown out left and right. And even though he said that 75% of the people that are coming into the juvenile detention centers are just one and done, I just don't believe that. And until he provides data, I will continue to not believe that. Again, I am very disappointed in what I saw in Annapolis in regards to Vincent Schiraldi. It looks to me that this is on the back burner. I know we're facing a $3 billion deficit. It could be even more than that. I understand we have an energy crisis. I understand we have all of these things. But as you heard there, even from McKinsey Frost's report, Vincent Schiraldi, he said that he's basically working on one thing at a time. Did you hear that part? I heard it. He said since he found out that court cases were being thrown out, he had shifted gears. But before that, he was just working with repeat violent offenders. But here's the thing. If you say the data shows you that 75% of those committing the crime are not repeat offenders, why the hell were you still focused on repeat offenders? If the majority of the people coming in, if this is true, if the majority of people coming in have never been there before, then why would that still be your focus? You see, here's the thing, and I got a text here from Fran. Fran says, you know, the worst thing about Schiraldi is that he sounds like Dr. Fauci. Yes, he actually does, and I agree with that, Fran. But, you know, the big problem I see here is that this is all being done intentionally. And if it's being done intentionally, as I think that it is, then we have a larger problem than that. And as our caller Rose pointed out, you know, these kids, they might be 11, 12, 13 now. But just in a few years, they'll be young adults and they'll still be caught up in all of these crime sprees. And where do you think they'll be at that point? They're going to be even more dangerous, many of them. They're going to be in other gangs. They're going to be doing things, you know, it's going to escalate each time. What they're doing in this state right now, and I will say the legislators, the governor, Vincent Schiraldi, is they're setting us up for 5 or 6 years from now to most likely have one of the most dangerous states in America. It used to just be the Baltimore region, but now it's spread across the state. And it seems that people are just fine with that. When we get back, we're going to be joined by our guest, Scott Pappas. He's going to tell us about Fort Howard. I'm going to have him walk us through that from beginning to end. And I think it's interesting that some of this money, $30,000, believe it or not, is tied to my former opponent, Johnny Olszewski, who's now the congressman in the 2nd District. And we were talking about how developers were in his back pocket, right? Well, guess what? We now have some proof to that. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, don't forget, Floyd Mayweather was gushing over President Trump on Fox Business. I have that audio for you as well. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. I spent 16 years in offensive lineman, battling in the trenches every week. That takes a toll on your body, especially your feet. Every achievement